We are singularly fortunate this afternoon because we have in our midst His Grace Yadubar Prabhu, who is here to give us the Sunday feast program. We would like to welcome him in our traditional way by loudly chanting. Yadubar Prabhu and Her Grace Vishakha Mataji constitute a wonderful Grahastha couple who have dedicated their lives in service of Srila Prabhupada and Hare Krishna movement. Many of you know Yadubar Prabhu and he needs no introduction. He is one of the stalwart disciples of Srila Prabhupada, but a very brief introduction is called for. So Yadubar Prabhu is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada and he met Srila Prabhupada in Surat in the capacity of a professional photographer who was invited to make a film on the Hare Krishna movement. This was possibly his first and last professional assignment. Later on, he did several documentaries and several films which are famous all over the ISKCON world. And he is one of the most outstanding disciples of Srila Prabhupada, in as much as that he doesn't come into the forefront but works behind the camera and produces such beautiful films that depict the glory of his beloved spiritual master, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So all his documentaries, his DVDs and so many films that he has made are really outstanding and were appreciated by Srila Prabhupada himself when he was on this planet Earth. So I would not like to speak more and come in the way of the speaker and his presentation. So once again, we would like to welcome His Grace Yadubar Prabhu in our midst by loudly chanting, Hari Ki Jai.
Usual, some technical problems. Today, by the way, thank you so much for the warm welcome. We're very happy to be back at Radha Gopinath Mandir. And today we're going to look at some still pictures from our video series following Srila Prabhupada. This is an 11 DVD series, 31 hours. Most of you know what it is. And it's got commentary by over 300 disciples and friends and supporters of Srila Prabhupada. So as you watch the film, you hear the commentary. I started out as a still photographer. My first assignment was to cover the Hare Krishna movement in New York. So I've always loved still photography, although most of my service has been done in film since 1973. So in editing this series, I was always fascinated by the many beautiful still pictures that were in the series. And in 31 hours, there's quite a few still pictures at 24 frames a second. Times 60 times 60 times 31 is? Who's quick? Over 2 million. So we've been taking some beautiful still pictures of Srila Prabhupada and also a few more telling the story about, very briefly, but just some highlighted pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. This is Ananda Ashram. And we all know, most of us know, that Srila Prabhupada was very much alone in his early months in New York City. One of the persons he met was Dr. Mishra. And Dr. Mishra had ashram in upstate New York. So Srila Prabhupada was invited to stay there. And these are some of the very first pictures we see of Srila Prabhupada in the West from video and film frames. In fact, in the Lilamrita, we find that the first still pictures of Srila Prabhupada in the West were taken from films. especially Tompkins Square Park. This is Dr. Mishra. When Dr. Mishra heard Srila Prabhupada speak, it was somewhat contradictory to his impersonalist philosophy, very much so. So he didn't want Prabhupada to speak, but he allowed him to do kirtan. And this is some of the, they were doing hatha yoga at this ashram and also hearing impersonalist philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada's only preaching was through kirtan. This is Joan Suval. She speaks about Srila Prabhupada helping him in the early days. Dr. Mishra asked her to help him, anything he needed. So she did a lot for Srila Prabhupada, took him shopping, and she came to love Srila Prabhupada very much, just like Sally Agarwal, American housewife. Actually, anyone that Srila Prabhupada came in contact with, he endeared himself to them. So Joan Suval, she remembers, she's the present-day head of an Ananda ashram. She gave a very wonderful interview. And she remembers when Srila Prabhupada would be asked by Dr. Mishra to lead kirtan, Dr. Mishra would say, "Only a few minutes, Swamiji. It is late, they are tired." And Prabhupada would say, "Yes, yes, only a few minutes." And once he started, it would rarely go on less than an hour. So, now this is the first temple at 22nd Avenue. Prabhupada went through immense difficulty in the winter of 1965-1966 before a temple was established. We can just imagine him alone, pretty much alone, with in the Bowery, with all sorts of, you know, strange people around. And this is an interview from this film. These were taken from the film. The film was made by Richard Witte. Richard Witte was a filmmaker, he and his wife, and they worked for a production company, and the head of the production company asked them to go out and make their own film. So their first film was this film called Matchless Gifts. And that was made in 1966. In 1983, we were looking for footage of Srila Prabhupada in Tompkins Square Park. We didn't have any. And we thought for this Your Ever Will Wish, your biography film, we must have some pictures, some film of Srila Prabhupada in the very beginning, Tompkins Square Park. So 1983, we were just about to release the film. We had no footage. Then all of a sudden, Richard Witte, who had been taking prasadam at Govinda's in New York, he decided to donate the film. Nobody knew it existed. So just see how Krishna works within everyone's heart to inspire. In this interview, Srila Prabhupada gives all credit for starting the movement to the boys. And one second here so we can get a better view. No, go the other way, I'm sorry. Now stop there and go to the brightness. Go to brightness and increase that. Okay. Prabhupada gives all credit to the boys, and here are the boys in the ashram having kirtan. This is Srila Prabhupada's greatness, also another example that he accepted everyone who came. It didn't matter who they were. Of course, they were all spirit soul, and Srila Prabhupada saw that. And any spark of Krishna consciousness they had, he would fan that spark. And this is some wonderful still pictures of Srila Prabhupada in chanting in Tompkins Square Park, the very beginning. To me, this picture shows Prabhupada's compassion, his determination, and his enthusiasm. We can just imagine if Srila Prabhupada didn't leave Vrindavan and come to New York City alone, where would we be today? It would be quite a different world. So you don't see anyone in dhoti. I think the only one in this scene was Kirtanananda Swami. So Srila Prabhupada stayed in New York for some time. On the right, we see Mukunda Maharaj in a beard. And he wanted to go to India. So he told Srila Prabhupada that. And he said, I want to stop in San Francisco first and on to India. So Srila Prabhupada said, well, why don't you, while you're there in San Francisco, try to start a temple. So he got to San Francisco and did just that. He got a storefront similar to New York. And arranged for a mantra rock concert with all the famous bands at that time. In the middle, we see Shyamasundar Prabhu. And this was his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. It was actually also Srila Prabhupada's first airplane flight from New York to San Francisco. So Shyamasundar Prabhu was thinking, if the Beat Generation, headed by Allen Ginsberg, who's on the left, like Srila Prabhupada, then he's for me. So Srila Prabhupada would go to Hippie Hill, and there would be kirtan every day. This was a famous place where the hippies congregated in Golden Gate Park, San Francisco. This is one of the earlier followers, and this is Jayananda Prabhu, who became known as Mr. Rathayatra. He also became known for his wonderful, humble nature, and also making many, many devotees. So Srila Prabhupada endeared himself to the hippies because he, number one, stayed with them in the Haight Ashbury in their area, and also he was with them in kirtan, and he didn't go off and stay in some big hotel like other swamis, but he was among the people. You can see Srila Prabhupada's obvious pleasure being in Golden Gate Park with the hippies chanting Hare Krishna. So here Srila Prabhupada is in New Jersey. He had gone back to New York and he had a stroke or a heart attack. So he was recuperating in a bungalow on the Jersey shore, the Jersey beach. While he was there, he received an audio recording from the San Francisco devotees. It was a kirtan. When the New York devotees heard the kirtan, they were shocked. Because number one, it was a new tune. We didn't make up tunes in those days. So it was a new tune and it was a wild-sounding kirtan. All kinds of strange instruments and people saying, you know, far-out things. And I'm not sure what it was. But Prabhupada was very happy to hear it because he was really thrilled that the devotees were still chanting Hare Krishna after he had left. So Prabhupada encouraged both sides. He encouraged the conservatives, the New York devotees, and he also encouraged the liberals. Whoever was taken to the process, he would encourage. These are some still pictures taken from a film entitled Swamiji, taken by Damodar Prabhu. And Prabhupada was not getting better, so he decided to go to India to regain his health. And he told the devotees also that he may not come back, which was completely devastating to the devotees. So they asked Damodar Prabhu to make a film of Srila Prabhupada, and after Srila Prabhupada left, they would be able to see that film, which they did every day, and chant their japa as they watched Srila Prabhupada's activities in his room. In those days, there were very, very few books. This must have been some outside book, small book that Prabhupada was reading. And here we are in Prabhupada's room with, you can see the globe on the left. And Prabhupada would sit and meditate on that globe. And devotees would be with him and he'd say, Brahmananda, you shall go to Africa. Gaurasundar, you shall go to Japan. Such and such, you shall go to Russia. This was the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but there were two centers. And Prabhupada was talking about devotees going all over the world. And they wouldn't disbelieve They would listen and they'd have faith, but they couldn't figure out how it would ever happen. So Prabhupada had the vision. Here we are in Boston. There was the third or fourth temple established in Boston. And on the right is Gaurasundar Prabhu. On the left is Jadarani Dasi. Gaurasundar was an avid reader. And since there were very few books at that time, he went to the library a lot and read a lot about the Vedic culture. And he also read about the Brahminical class. And he wanted to become a Brahmin and chant mantras and whatever. So he asked Srila Prabhupada if Prabhupada could make him a Brahmin. So Prabhupada decided to have the first Brahminical initiation. But the problem for some was that women were not included. And Gaurasundar's wife, Govinda Dasi, and Jadarani Dasi were very, very upset. And they let Prabhupada know that in different ways. So Prabhupada agreed to give the ladies Brahminical initiation also. Prabhupada arriving at Montreal Airport. If you ever received a smile like this from Srila Prabhupada, it was quite overwhelming. This unknown lady, elderly lady, came with a bouquet of flowers to offer to Srila Prabhupada. These are the devotees dressed up, Radha and Krishna and the gopis. It was part of a film called The Full Nectarine. And it was the life of Lord Chaitanya and included Radha Krishna pastimes, and also Srila Prabhupada appeared in the film at the end. And there was some problem at this time in the devotees' understanding. They were actually thinking that when we dress up these devotees as Radha and Krishna, they actually become Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada heard about this and he was quite alarmed and upset. And in fact, when one of them took prasad, the devotees would take it as remnants, Krishna's remnants. Prabhupada, he said, by this inclination, I can understand that you want to know more about Radha and Krishna. So he explained the prayers of Brahma Samhita prayers. And the devotees were very happy to have their misunderstanding corrected and to hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. In the end of this film, Prabhupada's having kirtan. And this is an interview in Boston, Massachusetts. I took some of these film frames just to show Prabhupada's amazing expressions during this interview. These are described as Prabhupada's saucer-like eyes. And at the end of the interview, he showed how to chant japa. This is Prabhupada's arrival in San Francisco Airport, 1970, for the first very large Rath Yatra, the first three-cart Rath Yatra in ISKCON. And every temple president bought Srila Prabhupada a garland of gardenias. Gardenia is a very highly scented flower, Prabhupada's favorite. So the reception was very wonderful at the San Francisco airport. Here Prabhupada's dancing at the Rath Yatra. You can see on Prabhupada's shirt there's a pearl cufflink. One Mataji made this shirt for Prabhupada, and Bhavananda Prabhu insisted that Madhavisa Prabhu, the president of San Francisco, buy Prabhupada real pearls for his shirt, although they didn't have much money. So he gave in, and Prabhupada wore this shirt at the Rath Yatra. And also this is the first time that Prabhupada jumped off the ground while dancing. He taught the devotees the Swami step, which is back and forth, but he'd never jumped before, and so this was thrilling for the devotees. Prabhupada's departure from San Francisco. In a darshan before he left, he asked the devotees, why have we gone to all this trouble to put on this festival? It was a huge, huge endeavor. Prabhupada repeated, why have we gone to all this trouble? Then he answered his own question. He said, it is the compassion of the Vaishnavas. Then he said it again, and then tears came to his eyes to see the hard work of the devotees for the purpose of preaching. So we see that all over the world today in ISKCON, huge festivals going on, wonderful programs, big temples being built with much, much endeavor. So this is the compassion of the Vaishnavas. It's very wonderful to see Prabhupada so much appreciated our efforts and still does. This is a little dark, I'm sorry, but it's Prabhupada's, the devotees are escorting Prabhupada down the corridor of the San Francisco airport with a roaring kirtan. And you can see there's big posters of the parampara. You'll never see this in a U.S. airport again. And incredible receptions during that time at the airports. These are devotees watching through the glass to see Srila Prabhupada board the airplane. That's Dinabandhu Prabhu on the left. Do you recognize him? We were all very young in those days. When I came to India in 1970, I was one of the elders. I was 27. You can just imagine all the mistakes we made as young neophytes. On the right is Mahatma Prabhu. And Prabhupada in Los Angeles in 1970, the Watsika Avenue Temple was purchased. That was the first large temple in ISKCON. It wasn't a storefront anymore, but it was a full-fledged temple. It was actually a former church. In those days, we actually bought up quite a few of the churches because the attendance in the churches was diminishing and the devotees, population of devotees was increasing. And Prabhupada instituted this very simple, sweet ceremony. As he came back from his morning walk, he offered flowers to the devotees, and the devotees offered flowers back to him. And you can see Sridhar Swami in the very top. Let's just try to get the picture brighter here. More and more and more, all the way up. Okay. Prabhupada paid special attention to the children. He loved the children very much. He actually said, one time there was a question asked to Srila Prabhupada in the Gurukul, can we use the stick to punish the children? And Prabhupada said, if you use the stick on them, I will use a stick on you. When Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, one day he took Charanamrita and he turned and looked at the devotees and he said, it is salt. Someone had put salt instead of sugar in the Charanamrita. Then another time he sat on his Vyasasan and was presented a book by ISKCON Press. When he opened the book fell apart in his hands. Another time, he took darshan on the altar and the picture of his spiritual master was upside down. So there was some bad, some ill omens. And Prabhupada understood that the devotees, there was some misunderstanding in the minds of devotees. And this time they were underestimating the position of the spiritual master. And in our DVD series, one of those devotees who was responsible for part of that very frankly discusses that, and he said it was because of the jealousy of the spiritual master. So this may seem surprising, but actually this is the very reason we're here in the first place, because of wanting to take Krishna's position as the enjoyer. So these tendencies come out in conditioned souls, and again we were very, very young in those days. The oldest devotees were maybe at the most 4 years in devotional service. So Prabhupada heard about this and he actually gave four of them, of these persons who were preaching or had this mentality, he gave them sannyas. And this may seem surprising also, but it was a reformatory measure. And also Prabhupada needed sannyasis in those days, and these persons were leaders. So as a reformatory measure, he gave them sannyas. And then Srila Prabhupada left Los Angeles for Japan. This garland went down to his feet. And even though there was some misunderstanding amongst some of the leaders, Prabhupada was always very blissful. He didn't let these things bother him. He would deal with them, but he was always in blissful Krishna consciousness. Here we are in New Vrindavan, 1970. This was about a month after Srila Prabhupada left. It's Lakshmi Muni Mataji in the front with a baby. And this was Janmashtami. So those sannyasis had come to New Vrindavan, and this time there was another problem. You may wonder why I'm bringing up all these problems in the early days in ISKCON. Actually, we've been given a very precious knowledge through Guru Parampara, and we have to be very careful to not to change anything and to pass it down intact. Because the tendency, again, for conditioned souls is to go off and create their own ideas. Just like there's some movements today in India, the founder established the movement some 100 years ago or so, and now today the followers are saying that he is Bhagavan. Right? This is going on. So what happened here in New Vrindavan, just further on this, precious knowledge that we've been given. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that he's speaking Bhagavad Gita to reestablish the disciplic succession, Guru Parampara. So if the disciplic succession can be broken 5,000 years ago, what to speak of today? You know, so it's quite astonishing, actually, that we hear that. It was broken and Krishna reestablishing it. So we have to be very careful. So there was another misconception. This time the sannyasis went overboard. They were preaching the opposite, that instead of underestimating the position of the spiritual master, they were overestimating. And they were preaching that Prabhupada is actually Bhagavan. And when you recite Sri Bhagavan Uvacha from Gita, you should say Srila Prabhupada Uvacha. So this caused a huge upset at the festival. Many devotees left. They were bewildered. Hayagriva Prabhu finally told Srila Prabhupada. He contacted him and what was going on. And Srila Prabhupada expelled those sannyasis from ISKCON. This was a big blow to them. And they were sent away. They were sent to the Detroit temple, taken away from the festival. And then the next day, put out on the street, and they just had to walk. And they had nothing. They had a few belongings, and they had 25 cents, which is one quarter of a dollar. And they didn't know what to do. So they walked that night and slept under some pine trees because there were some pine needles on the ground, which made kind of a soft bed. In the morning, they got up, and they were outside the Ford Motor Company in Detroit, Michigan. So they chanted their japa, they read Bhagavatam. This is what sannyasis do. Again, they were very distraught being expelled from ISKCON. And then they were chanting, and then a little boy came up to them, and they said, "Here, my mommy told me to give you this." And he had milk and a loaf of bread. And he put it down and ran away. So they offered that up, and they took prasad. And then they hitchhiked to the University of Michigan. There they preached to the students. And they said, "If you invite us to your apartment, we'll cook a feast for you, and then we'll have a nice festival." Feasting and philosophy and kirtan. So they did that for quite a few months. And one of the persons they met, he was married. He was very attracted. He invited the sannyasis back. And he said, in his mind, he was thinking, "I want to become like this sannyasi," and he was referring to Vishnujan Maharaj. So that person later became Indradyumna Swami, who is doing a huge amount of preaching today. So by the preaching of the four sannyasis, they were purified and they were accepted back into ISKCON. And they did a lot of preaching after that. So the beginning of Srila Prabhupada's mission in India was in August of 1970. It was the Prabhupada's World Sankirtan Party. And everyone, about 20 or 30 devotees met from America. They came to Bombay. And the impact on the Indian people was extraordinary. Seeing Westerners dressed as Vaishnavas coming back to India. If we just consider the history of India, the overt attempt at the destruction of the Vedic culture by the Muslims, and then the British, in more subtle ways, tried again. And to see after all that, of course, there was independence. But to see Westerners dressed as Vaishnavas coming back to India caused a huge, an amazing reaction. Most people were very, very proud to see the devotees, and some were skeptical. Even some were thinking the devotees were CIA agents. That was brought up in Parliament. That means Central Intelligence Agency, the Intelligence Department in America. And here's Prabhupada at one program. He was asked to speak at Chaupati Beach at a Pandal program. And he was asked by the organizers, "Swamiji, you can speak, but we don't want your disciples to sit on the same stage." So Prabhupada's answer was, "I won't speak unless my disciples are with me." Prabhupada was very proud of us. And he said that my disciples are every bit as good as these yogis and swamis who are participating in this conference. And most of the yogis and swamis were, of course, impersonalists. So in that one respect, we were had a better understanding, even though we were quite young. At this particular pandal, Prabhupada did something extraordinary. He led kirtan, and then he asked the devotees to go down into the audience and continue kirtan, which kind of broke up the whole program. Prabhupada had different ways of doing that, these impersonalist gatherings. Sometimes he would be very outspoken in his address, and sometimes there would be, you know, kirtans that would go on and on, like this one did. This is Dinanath Prabhu in the center, great kirtaniya in the early days, Tamal Krishna Goswami on the left, Banu Swami on the right. And then Srila Prabhupada came down into the audience and joined us and started dancing. This is Yamuna Devi. Prabhupada would ask her to lead kirtan many, many times in those early days. And during those early months in India, devotees would go to many, many towns. And this is one train ride to Amritsar, and they stopped in Mathura Junction Station. This is the first time the devotees had stepped foot in the holy dham. But it was only for 20 minutes because this train stopped and then went on to its destination. At every stop, they would get down and have kirtan. And Yamuna Devi says these trains were like vehicles taking us from one kirtan to another. And when they had kirtan, hundreds of people would congregate on the platform. So very soon, the whole of India knew about the devotees. They traveled all over India. This is Kaushalya Devi on the left, Gurudas Prabhu in the center, Rivadinanda Prabhu on the right. This is kirtan in Amritsar. And this is Malati Devi in Surat, Gujarat. The reception here was incredible. This is where I first met Srila Prabhupada. I had come from America as a photographer to do a photographic essay for a master's degree thesis in photography. So I wanted to meet Srila Prabhupada. I was attracted and travel with the devotees and take pictures. So coming from the streets of New York, taking pictures of the devotees to Surat was an incredible, it was a photographer's dream actually. The reception here was like devotees being received like demigods. And during the kirtan through the streets, we couldn't go more than a few yards without being stopped and being garlanded in sandalwood paste and drinks and even arati offered to the Harinam party. It was an amazing, amazing time. Actually, one mayor of one town, he said, even if Indira Gandhi had come to our town, she would not have received the reception that Srila Prabhupada did and his devotees. She was prime minister at the time. So I met Srila Prabhupada when I arrived that evening, one evening. I showed him the article that I had done from a magazine. He liked it very much. And I asked him if I could travel with him and the devotees. And he said, are you going to become a devotee? And I said, I don't think so. I was attracted, but I couldn't imagine joining the movement. So Prabhupada said, then you cannot stay. And I was quite devastated. I just arrived that evening. So I didn't say anything else, and Prabhupada didn't say anything, and I stayed for 2 months and traveled with the devotees, took lots of pictures. Actually, Prabhupada knew everyone's heart, so he knew that I had some attraction, and he very kindly allowed me to stay in the association of devotees to develop. And that is the most important thing, the association of devotees for advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is repeated time and time again in our shastras. So you can see every morning in the newspaper they would print the particular route of the Sankirtan party in that particular part of the city. So the people in that part of the city would decorate the streets. You can see how they did that, just quite amazing. There I am in the blue shirt, mustache, long hair. And these are some of the pictures that we took. This is Mangal Arati in Srila Prabhupada's room in Surat. This was an incredible time. The artis were so powerful, so intense. This is Yamuna Devi on the right. And this is a program, actually the second or third night that I was there, this program took place. Thousands and thousands of people, as far as you can see down the street. And Srila Prabhupada led a kirtan, then he spoke, and then he asked the different disciples to speak, one after another. And he turned to me and he asked me to speak. And that was another shock. What am I going to say? I expressed my appreciation for the reception the people of Surat gave the devotees. And I just was very happy to see that. And Srila Prabhupada was tireless. There would be 3, 4, sometimes 5 engagements per day. It was very hard to keep up with him, constantly preaching. These are some of the engagements we attended. And we stayed at Mr. Jariwala's house. Mr. Jariwala has the Nehru cap on second from Srila Prabhupada's left. He put all the devotees up in his house, and with considerable difficulty. Many of us were sick at the time. He took very good care of us, he and his family. And when we left, he said he begged us all forgiveness for any offenses he may have committed. And then he started to cry. And Srila Prabhupada looked at us, and he said, "This is a Vaishnava." Such a gentle, humble man. These are some still pictures that I took at an engagement in a village outside Surat. Srila Prabhupada's gestures were very dramatic in this lecture. Again, the Harinam party. Everywhere the Harinam party went, the streets were completely packed. That's Banu Swami in the foreground. Malati Devi getting garland. Rivadi Nanda Prabhu in back of her. and Chittananda in back of him. Srila Prabhupada would take morning walk along this river. I visited Surat a few years ago, and this whole area is on the other side of the river, opposite the park, is now like a city. And again, anywhere, any opportunity, any even a single devotee had by engaging others in Harinam, they would take it. Here the Boy Scouts are chanting Hare Krishna. Here Srila Prabhupada's on his balcony, when the Harinam party would return from the streets of Surat, Prabhupada would come out and give us all darshan. Of course, the people were very happy to see Srila Prabhupada because they really wanted to see and know the person who brought India's spiritual culture to the West. Here we are in Allahabad. It was very, very cold, Kumbh Mela, 1971. And Srila Prabhupada had us do three things here. Harinam Sankirtan every day, elaborate deity worship, and prasadam distribution. So our camp was very, very popular. That's Madhavisa Prabhu with a drum, Tamal Krishna Goswami next to him. He was Grihastha then. His wife in back of him, Madri Devi, Aravinda Prabhu in the blanket, Tushta Krishna Prabhu in the white behind Srila Prabhupada, Chittananda Swami with a turban, Giridhar Swami with a hat and the blanket, Yamuna Devi in back of Hansaduta Prabhu. These were the stalwart early devotees. So here Srila Prabhupada shaving. It was, again, very, very cold. Srila Prabhupada lived with us in a tent. Now, this was Allahabad. Prabhupada could have stayed in a hotel, and he had many friends here because, of course, we know that he served, he was a Grihastha here in Allahabad for many, many years, and served his spiritual master at the local Sri Rupa Gaudiya Math. So Prabhupada, but still, he chose to stay with his disciples. This is one of my favorite still pictures of Srila Prabhupada. To me, it's like Prabhupada leading Lord Chaitanya's Harinam Sankirtan army, the general. But actually, it's Prabhupada in a rickshaw. Still, it's a beautiful picture. You can lead an army in a rickshaw also. So we were going, Prabhupada took us to the on a tour of Allahabad, some of the places that he used to visit, and also we went to the Sri Rupa Gaudiya Math. So all the devotees followed in rickshaws. Hansaduta Prabhu gives a very nice analogy. He said, we were just like little ducklings following the mother duckling. Wherever Prabhupada would go, we would follow him all over India and do whatever he wanted. So this is where Srila Prabhupada served for many years. He was always thinking, how can I do more service for my spiritual master? And we know that he donated the Radha Krishna Murtis here at the local Gaudiya Math. This is one of the engagements, many engagements we were invited to. This is Prabhudat Das Brahmachari. He was reputed to be over 100 years old. Actually, Prabhupada said that there are many powerful yogis here, that we should be very careful and not to offend them. He said some of them are up to 300 years old. And he even said that two of them visited him and they appeared like young boys. And he said some of these yogis have the mystic cities and they can immerse themselves in the Ganga and Hardwar and come up in Allahabad. So Prabhudat Das Brahmachari had the distinction of translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita into Hindi. I think that was the first Hindi translation. Here's Yamuna Devi again. Giridhar Das Brahmachari. Prabhupada Prabhupada said, I think it was reported to be 7 million pilgrims that year. It was the six-year Kumbh Mela, 1971. Of course, we know that Prabhupada visited 1977 Kumbh Mela, which was the 12-year Mela, even though he was quite sick at the time. There's little Saraswati on her father's shoulders. Prabhupada said she was the perfect preacher because anything, whatever she knew about Krishna, she would share with others. And in kirtan, she would always have her arms in the air. So for Indians to see this little Western girl dancing with her arms in the air, chanting Hare Krishna, was just melted their hearts. Prabhupada in Benares. Wherever Prabhupada went, again, there was a grand reception. Here he's being drawn through the streets during Gaur Purnim festival. He was in a chariot drawn by four white horses. There's Jayapataka Swami on the left in the procession. Vasudeva Prabhu on the right. Dinanath Prabhu, the great Kirtaniya. And here that same shirt is being worn by Srila Prabhupada with the pearl buttons. I mentioned one Mataji in Los Angeles made that shirt for him. It's not exactly a Swami shirt, but she was thinking, let me make kind of a cowboy shirt for Prabhupada. He's a cowboy, so he might like it. So again, Prabhupada, you know, appreciated the devotion. He wore this shirt all over India, even though it was kind of a Western style shirt. Here's a very close-up shot of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes when filming Prabhupada, we were very close, and then all of a sudden he would go like this, and then I'd turn the camera off and run away. Always afraid of disturbing Srila Prabhupada, but he very kindly allowed us to film. This is the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that procession. And this is Cross Maidan, the famous festival, first large program in a big city in India, Cross Maidan, Bombay. And it was quite amazing, just these huge festivals in big cities, Delhi, Hyderabad, Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, manifested themselves in a few short months after Srila Prabhupada and his disciples arrived. So actually, we think that Srila Prabhupada didn't do much preaching. There wasn't much effect. He only had one disciple when he came to the West. But actually, he did a lot of preaching, especially to the upper class. Because when we came back to India, we were invited to many prominent personalities at their homes, and they had engagements, you know, business people, politicians, educators, even scientists. So this big Bombay pandal, of course, we know that this is where Srila Prabhupada invited one Western boy to come up on stage and sit next to him. And that person, you can't see it, but all the black in front are people in the audience. It was completely packed. So way in the back, Gurudas went and led Radhanath Swami to the stage. Haribo. And Radhanath Swami recalls in our DVD series hearing Srila Prabhupada speak for the first time, and he was impressed by his great desire to communicate the message of Krishna consciousness to his audience. And that was the beginning of his attachment and devotion to Srila Prabhupada. And then there was a marriage during that pandal on stage at night. This one Australian boy, Vegavan Prabhu, and Australian girl, I forget her name. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada said that this is the real United Nations. He was very proud of his disciples coming together and taking the vows of marriage. And of course, the audience was thrilled to see the ceremony on stage. So this is when my friend, Jean, she came from America to find out what happened to me. Also, my professors were wondering What about his thesis? Where has he gone? So she came, and actually she helped me do the article, that first article in New York. When she came to the temple and met the devotees, she was very skeptical. She didn't like it. I liked it a lot. She didn't. She was actually brought up an atheist. Sometimes she would preach to her friends to give up religion. She was a potent preacher. So anyway, she met Srila Prabhupada, and her idea was to do a photo essay on an Indian village. So she thought, let's ask Srila Prabhupada. He'll know where to go. He can suggest a place to go. So we asked him, and he said, anywhere you go, you will get your camera stolen, and they will cheat you. Quite discouraging. And then he said, best you go to Vrindavan. So before we went to Vrindavan, we went to Nepal, and we hiked up in the Himalayas. We had one book with us, and that was Bhagavad Gita As It Is, the first edition, the blue cover. And Jean was reading Bhagavad Gita, and that was the first time she became a little attracted to the idea that we may be a soul and not the body. And of course, if we have actually understand that we're soul, then everything else can come from that. So here we are at 12,000 feet in an abandoned cabin. We stayed for 5 days. And it was a very wonderful time reading Bhagavad Gita in that beautiful, beautiful atmosphere. And then we came back down through India taking our art photography, as you say. And you can see some nice, you know, symmetry in the pictures, but there's not much meaning. It was all about symmetry in those days, and if you could find some meaning, that was very good. So anyway, we were very... shots in India were quite... We liked what we saw, and we took a lot of pictures. This is Benares, the washing ghat or something. And then we came to Vrindavan, and this is where Vishakha Devi became actually Vishakha Devi, and she became a devotee here. So Srila Prabhupada knew how to direct her, and she would very much love every day to sit in the temples and take pictures of the widows chanting Hare Krishna. And everywhere we went, we'd be greeted by Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna. And so it was a very wonderful time. For 1 month we spent there. And then we went to Calcutta to produce a Vyasa Puja book for Srila Prabhupada with some of our pictures. And there I took initiation, and a month later Vishakha Devi took initiation in Vrindavan, and we were married at that time. So this is the end of our presentation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do you have any questions or comments? So shall we have kirtan? Kirtan. Any questions? Hari Bol. Namo.